Believe it or not, I remember everything. So get ready for the ride. It starts with a bang. It starts at a moment when I was in deep trouble. When was I not? I used up my 9 lives long ago. But here I am. I'm still playing.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Monday Tideline Rolling Stones special featuring Keith Richards. This is Katie B, and the Rolling Stones, no secret to a lot of people now, turned 50 this year. 50 years old, the band itself. Keith Richards, the guitar player, the infamous guitar player, is going to be 69 years old tomorrow, the 18th of December. So all of these things kind of coming together, you know, the possible end of the world on Friday. I just thought, this is it. This is the time to play the Stones for a couple of hours, to feature Keith Richards' autobiography memoir called Life that came out a couple years ago that I've talked about on this program a few times. There's just a wealth of fascinating rock and roll history here, the history of the Rolling Stones. So I understand Mick Jagger also has a book out, but Keith Richards, I think, is maybe a little more, colorful, shall we say. So, there's a lot of course, gossip in here and, you know, some of the dirt about his relationship with Mick Jagger. I think they've kissed and made up since the book came out. But I'm really going to focus on the music today and kind of the chronological history of the music and how the band came about, how Mick and Keith met, a little bit about Keith's earlier life, and then kind of go into just this phenomenon, this band, which we call the Rolling Stones, which are still rocking and rolling. And I do have some sound bites from Mr. Richards himself that will kind of fill in some blanks for us, since I don't really do a Keith Richards accent, believe it or not. The Rolling Stones with Start Me Up, that was originally on Tattoo You, and now is part of a double CD set that they just released for their 50th anniversary called The Rolling Stones Grr, which is a lot of their hits from the past 50 years. So let's get into it here. I'm going to start with a little bit about Keith's musical growing up. He says in his book that we didn't have a record player for a long time, and most of it for us was on the radio, mostly on the BBC, my mother being a master twiddler of the knobs. She'd point out who was good or bad, even to me. She was musical, musical. There were voices she would hear, and she'd say, "Screecher," when everyone else would think it was a great soprano. He writes, "I was basically a musical sponge, and I was just fascinated by watching people play music. There in the street, I'd gravitate towards it, piano player in the pub, whatever it was. My ears were picking it up note for note. Didn't matter if it was out of tune, there were notes happening. There were rhythms and harmonies, and they would start zooming around in my ears. It was very like a drug. In fact, a far bigger drug than smack." He's a well-known, longtime heroin addict who kicked the habit, I think a good 30 years ago now. He says, "I could kick smack, I couldn't kick music. One note leads to another, and you never know quite what's going on to come next. And you don't want to. It's like walking a beautiful tightrope." So he says he thinks the first record he bought was Little Richard's Long Tall Sally. Fantastic record even to this day. He says good records just get better with age. And he would be listening to Radio Luxembourg on his little radio when he was supposed to be in bed asleep. And he heard Heartbreak Hotel. That was a stunner, he writes. He writes that it was like he'd been waiting for it to happen. When he woke up the next day, he was a different guy. So here's Little Richard's Long Tall Sally, followed by Elvis with Heartbreak Hotel, two of the earliest influences for Keith Richards. Yeah.
Elvis Presley's just walking out on the stage. You can hear bits of applause from the audience. He's fumbling around with the microphone right now. He's giving his cues to the boys. He's winding up his legs. And here he goes with Heartbreak Motel.
Well, it started at the end of Lonely Street at Heartbreak Hotel. Her life's so lonely, baby. Her life's so lonely. Her life's so lonely. I could die. Oh, though it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. Her life's so lonely, baby. They're so lonely, they could die. Well, the bellhop's tears keep flowing, and the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on Lonely Street, they never, never look back. And they're so lonely, baby, they could die.
Okay, there it is. That's the Elvis Presley recording of Heartbreak Hotel.
City. Chased a boy right through the park. In a case of mistaken identity, they put a bullet through his heart.
Yeah. Alaskan Brewing Depot, participating in Downtown Juneau's holiday cheer with new items, including Alaskan favorites in new colors and other holiday gift ideas. The Alaskan Brewing Depot on South Franklin Street, open 7 days a week through the holidays.
And you're listening to the Rolling Stones' Keith Richards Life special Monday Tideline Show with Katie B. So getting back to his book here, he talks about, learning guitar and how his grandfather, Gus, was an influence. He taught him a bit of guitar, and he would kind of, you know, show his grandfather what he'd learned. And the thing is, he learned to play really by ear, where he writes, "Sometimes I visited Gus. By that time, I'd been playing for 2 or 3 years, and he said, 'Come on, give me Malagena.' I played it for him, and he said, 'You've got it.' And then I started to improvise because it's a guitar exercise. And he said, 'That's not how it goes.' And I said, 'No, but Granddad, it's how it could go.'" Okay, grandfather agrees. You're getting the hang of it. So really, Keith Richards learned to play by ear. And he says that he played straight from the ear, from the heart to the fingers. And he has a little kind of drawing. He has some little sketches in this book where he says, "I forgot to mention that to play the blues was like a jailbreak. Out of those meticulous bars with the notes crammed in like prisoners, he saw the notes as like sad faces having to read music." He also writes, "Don't think you're going to be Townsend or Hendricks just because you can go wee, wee, wah, wah and all the electronic tricks of the trade. First, you've got to know it. And you go to bed with it. If there's no babe around, you sleep with it. She's just the right shape." One of his many, many great, great quotes in this book. All right, let's get back into the music. This is a really, really early tune. This would be Not Fade Away. Rolling Stones from the early 60s, Not Fade Away. Now, they started in 1962 and kind of getting into early 60s. They hooked up with a producer named Andrew Loog Oldham. And they got to be so big so fast. I mean, they were really just in their late teens at this point. He says the biggest part of the day was planning the in and the out. The actual gig you didn't even get to know much about. It was just mayhem. We came there to listen to the audience. Nothing like a good 10, 15 minutes of pubescent female shrieking to cover up all your mistakes, or 3,000 teenage chicks throwing themselves at you, or being carried out on stretchers. All the bouffants awry, skirts up to their waists, sweating, red eyes rolling. That's a spirit, girl. That's why we like them. On the set list, for all it was worth, he said, we had Not Fade Away, which we just heard, and Around and Around, Walking the Dog, and I'm a King Bee. The girls sounds like they didn't really hear the tunes, but we'll listen to them now. I'm a King Bee, followed by Walking the Dog.
Buzzing around your house. Yeah, I can make honey, baby. Let me come inside. Well, I'm a king, babe. Want you to be my queen. Well, I'm a king, babe, baby. Want you to be my queen. Together we can make honey the world has never seen. Well, but a while. Well, I'm a king, babe. Can buzz all night long. Well, I'm a king, babe, baby. Can buzz all night long. Yeah, I can buzz.
Show you how to walk the dog. I asked the mother for actually quite, I mean, I when I started writing the book, I thought, sure, I'll just tell some yarns, you know, I mean, and, you know, tell it like it was, and it'll be easy. What I found out was that, in actual fact, to do a book like that, you have to relive your life twice, to unravel all of the past and come out the other end. It's very, very, it's quite difficult for me, actually, for a while. I mean, nobody usually has to do that. It is a deep hole, you know, those many years and remembering stuff you didn't really, that you've always blocked out, you know, just emotionally and stuff to relive it and go through it. There's
more Keith Richards. This is KDB, and you're listening to the Rolling Stones special featuring Keith Richards, yes, the infamous rhythm guitar player for the iconic band, the Rolling Stones. I'm sharing with you parts of his autobiography memoir from 2010 called Life, and, of course, Stones tunes and their influences. We just heard Johnny B. Goode from Chuck Berry, who was a huge influence for Keith Richards and Mick Jagger, and really had something to do with their meeting, that is, Jagger and Richards. So the story goes like this. This is in a letter that Keith Richards wrote to his Aunt Patty at the time when he met Mick. And he says, you know, I was keen on Chuck Berry, and I thought I was the only one fan for miles. But one morning on Dartford Station, it's a train station, I was holding one of Chuck's records when a guy I knew at primary school came up to me. He's got every record Chuck Berry ever made, and all his mates have them too. They are all rhythm and blues fans. Real R&B. I mean, not this Dinah Shore, Brooke Benton crap. Jimmy Reed, Muddy Waters, Chuck Howlin' Wolf, John Lee Hooker, and all the Chicago bluesmen. There are absolute, you know, heroes to these guys. Real bluesmen. Low-down stuff, marvelous. Bo Diddley. He's another great. Anyway, the guys at the station, he's called Mick Jagger, and all the chicks and all the boys eat meat every Saturday in the Carousel, some juke joint. One morning in January, I was walking past and decided to look him up. Everybody's all over me. I get invited to parties. And he says they just start playing together. He plays guitar, Chuck style. We've got a bass player, drummer, rhythm guitar, and we practice two or three nights a week. He says in big capital letters in this letter to his aunt, swingin'. So they're huge Chuck Berry fans, and, you know, he just kind of gets really enamored of Mick, and next thing you know, a few years later, they're starting the band. Let's hear a little bit more of this influence of theirs, Chuck Berry with Sweet Little 16.
In Pittsburgh, PA, deep in the heart of Texas, and round the Frisco Bay. Just got to have about a half a million, a famed autograph. Her wallet filled with pictures, she gets them one by one. Becomes so excited, watch her look at her run, boy. All over things.
little 16. Sweet little 16. She's got the grown-up blues. Tight dresses and lipstick. She's sporting high-heeled shoes. Oh, but tomorrow morning she'll have to change her trend and be sweet 16.
You'd pull up at some bar and you'd hear some of those incredible pickers and a band, you know, that you pass by in the night, you know, you have a quick beer and a sandwich or something, and you're back on the road. At the same time, the guys in the back of the room are playing some hot, hot stuff, you know. I mean, so you, eventually you get to know that there's loads of you out there. You know, and not everybody's going to become a star. You know, that's another trick, and it happens to do with.
I am the little red rooster, too lazy to crow for day. I'm the little red rooster, too lazy to crow for day. Keep everything in the farmyard upset in every way. Dogs begin to bark, hounds begin to howl. Dogs begin to bark, hounds begin to howl. Watch out, strange camp people, little red roosters on the prowl. If you see my little red rooster, please drive him home. If you see my little red rooster, please drive him home. Ain't had no peace in the farmyard since my little red rooster's been gone.
Broadcast support comes from McDonald's of Juneau, now serving holiday treats like eggnog shake, holiday pie, mint McFlurry, peppermint mocha, and hot chocolate. McDonald's is open daily in the Valley.
Broadcast of this program is made possible in part by the Alaska Budget Report, specializing in the straight scoop on state government since 1991. On the web at akbudgetreport.com.
And you're listening to the Rolling Stones Keith Richards special here on the Monday Tideline Show with Katie B. This is honor of the 50th anniversary of the band, and something I've been meaning to do for you guys for a long time is just pulling some quotes here and some stories from Keith Richards' amazing memoir called Life that was put out a couple years ago. So you know how the Rolling Stones got the band name? Well, here... They were doing one of their first gigs, and a promoter wanted to know, well, what are you called? You know, what do you call yourselves? And so the Jazz News was Jazz News. Yes, it was doing a story on them. And I think they've got a reporter on the line, and they're staring at each other going, well, what's her name? I don't know. This call is costing them some money. They need this article for promotion at that point. And Muddy Waters to the rescue. First track on the Best of Muddy Waters is Rolling Stone. The cover's on the floor. Desperate. Brian Jones, Mick and I take the dive. The Rolling Stones. Phew. That saved a sixpence. Another great story is September 1963. They're with their producer, Andrew Oldham. But at this point, they've played a lot of covers. Most of the songs that you have heard in this program so far have been covers. They were happy to do these blues covers. You know, they were the men, man, playing, really getting the blues out there, which was a new thing. They were an absolute phenom in Britain. And but they were kind of their producer Andrew was saying, hey guys, you know, you really need to kind of come up with something original, something of your own. And at that time, the Beatles, of course, were also getting really big. And here's another, according to Keith Richards, apparently true story. Their producer, Andrew, disappears to walk about and absent himself from this gloom. He walks into John and Paul, John Lennon and Paul McCartney, getting out of a taxi on the Charing Cross Road. They have a drink, and they detect Andrew's distress. He tells them no songs from the Stones. They came back into the studio with him and gave us a song. The Beatles give the Stones a song that was on their next album but wasn't coming out as a single, called I Wanna Be Your Man. So the Stones, of course, also make it a hit. And he says, I remember John Lennon calling me up and saying, we haven't finished mixing yet. We've got one ready to go. Okay, you go first. I wanna be your lover, baby. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your lover, baby. I wanna be your man. Tell me that you love me, baby. Tell me you understand. Tell me that you love me, baby. Tell me you understand. I wanna be your man. Be your man.
Support for KRNN comes from GCI Wireless, providing digital wireless service to Juneau throughout Southeast Alaska and beyond, on the web at gci.com.
It is the evening of the day. I sit and watch the children play. Smiling faces I can see.
Keith Richards writes about, as Tears Go By, they weren't trying to write a commercial pop song. It was just what came out. He and Mick knew what their producer Andrew wanted. Don't come out with the blues. Don't do some parody or copy. Come out with something of your own. A good pop song is not really that easy to write. It was a shock, this fresh world of writing our own material. This discovery that I had a gift I had no idea existed. It was Blake-like, a revelation, an epiphany. I think he's referring to the poet Blake. So he says, as Tears Go By, you just heard by Marianne Faithfull there, was first recorded and made into a hit by Marianne Faithfull. And he writes, after that, we wrote loads of airy-fairy silly love songs for chicks and stuff that didn't take off. We give them to Andrew, and amazing to us, he got most of them recorded by other artists. Mick and I refused to put this crap we were writing with the Stones, as in the airy-fairy love songs. We'd be laughed out of the goddamn room. Andrew was waiting for us to come up with The Last Time. And what he writes about The Last Time is, story goes, Andrew locked them up in a room. I think it was in a kitchen, Mick and Keith, and said, come up with a song. And this was it.
Well, I told you once and I told you twice, but you never listened to my advice. You don't try very hard to please me, but what you know, it should be easy. Well, this could
Carson Dorn Incorporated, working with individuals, businesses, and agencies throughout Southeast Alaska to find responsible and cost-effective solutions to a wide range of environmental and engineering projects.
So the Rolling Stones, The Last Time. from More Hot Rocks is the latest. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that song. Keith Richards writes in his book, Life, the song has the first recognizable Stones riff or guitar figure on it. The chorus is from the Staple Singers version, This May Be the Last Time. So he says, you know, we could work the hook. Now we had to find the verse. It had a Stones twist to it, one that maybe couldn't have been written earlier, a song about going on the road and dumping some chick. You don't try very hard to please me. Not the usual serenade to the unattainable object of desire. That was when it really clicked, he says, with that song, when Mick and I felt confident enough to actually lay it in front of Brian and Charlie and Ian Stewart, especially arbiter of events. So there's a little history for you on that song, The Last Time. The next one that really kind of, I guess, launched them into global fame was Satisfaction. And this is a great story where he says that he was between girlfriends at the time, believe it or not, Keith Richards. He's in his flat in Carlton Hill, St. John's Wood, hence maybe the mood of the song. I wrote Satisfaction, he writes, in my sleep. I had no idea I'd written it. It's only thank God for the little Philips cassette player. The miracle being that I looked at the cassette player that morning and I knew I'd put a brand new tape in the previous night until I saw it was at the end. Then I pushed rewind and there was Satisfaction. It was just a rough idea. There was just the bare bones of the song and it didn't have that noise, of course, because I was on acoustic and for 40 minutes of me snoring. But the bare bones is all you need. I held that cassette for a while and I wished I'd kept it. So he says that Satisfaction was a typical collaboration between Mick and me at the time. I would say on a general scale, I would come up with a song and the basic idea, and Mick would do all the work and fill it in and make it interesting. Satisfaction. Rolling Stones from about, I think, 1964, Satisfaction. And that was the song that really kind of launched them into global fame and now absolute history. That was the first rock and roll song that I connected with. I think I was about 8 years old, and the song was probably about 4 years old at that time. And I was just sort of, oh, I don't know, this kid who liked to dance around the house in California, where I grew up, North San Francisco, a place called Strawberry near Mill Valley. And that song just really got me. That's how far I go back with the Stones. This is Katie B, and this is the Monday Tideline Show. We're doing a Rolling Stones special and featuring Keith Richards' autobiography memoir called Life that he put out a couple years ago. He and Mick Jagger have had their ups and downs, but one thing unequivocally Keith will say is that Mick Jagger is a great harp player. He says his phrasing is incredible. It's very Louis Armstrong, Little Walter, and that's saying something. He says he finds it hard to listen to Mick play the harp without awe. And he also writes that Mick is one of the best natural blues harp players I've heard. His harp playing is the one place where you don't hear any calculation. I say, why don't you sing like that? He says, they're totally different things. But they're not, writes Keith. They're both blowing air out of your gob. Here's Mick Jagger on harp with Stoned. Little by Little from The Stones. Before that, Stoned. These are both from a collection of singles from 1963 to 1965 by the Rolling Stones, of course. This is Katie B, and this is the Rolling Stones special featuring The Stones in honor of their 50th anniversary. 50th anniversary of the band. They've been on tour the last couple of weeks. I think they're kind of winding that down. We'll see if they make any more dates in 2013. But I want to let you know that it is just after 6 o'clock here on KRNN 102.7. Looks like mostly clear skies in the forecast with the lows down to 9 degrees overnight. Brr! With the winds decreasing, hallelujah, to 15 miles per hour later. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, also partly sunny, I imagine. With the highs around 23 and the winds from the northeast to 20 miles per hour. Higher gusts in exposed locations. The exposed locations always seem to include Douglas. And downtown Juneau. Also, cloudy skies by Wednesday with the winds picking up again. Highs around 25. Looks like cloudy, windy, slight chance of snow by Wednesday night. And then more high winds in downtown Juneau and Douglas on Wednesday. Cloudy skies in the forecast for Thursday. So I don't see a lot of precipitation in the forecast actually through the weekend with pretty low temps with those lows down to 10 degrees over the weekend. So, yeah, cold. It's wintertime. Solstice is coming up Friday. And the 22nd on Saturday, I want to let you all know that there will be a poetry reading of Sig Olson poems, noon at the Eagle's Nest at Eagle Crest Ski Area. Sig Olson passed on 4 years ago, December 21st, 2008. He skied pretty much until he couldn't ski anymore, and then he passed on at the age of 85. And so he wrote a lot of kind of fun poems, and so in honor to just to honor him and his poetry and the solstice and just kind of welcome winter by remembering Sig and his poems. Come on up to the nest if you're at Eagle Crest. That's just right above the ski patrol at top of Ptarmigan at noon on Saturday the 22nd. Well, this is the Rolling Stones special. Let's get into a little bit of more tumbling dice here, and then I will tell you about the story behind Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Tumble into rolling. Got to roll.
Rolling Stones with Tumblin' Dice, one of their absolute classics, and that is on a new compilation, two-disc set called Gurr, and it's a lot of the top hits of the Stones over the last 50 years on two discs. You can pick it up right at Fred Meyer. So this is Katie B. This is Rolling Stones special. Just getting some, sharing with you some information about the history of the band and the history of Keith Richards here from his memoir called Life. And as far as Jumpin' Jack Flash, well, here's what he writes about what he remembers, where the lyrics came from. It was a gray dawn at Redlands. This was a Keith's estate where there were lots of potties. And I do digress. Let me digress just a little bit because there's just a great quote about the time Keith was seeing a woman named Anita. And she was kind of a larger-than-life figure. He says she had a huge influence on the style of the times. She could put anything together and look good. I was beginning to wear her clothes most of the time. I would wake up and put on what was lying around. Sometimes it was mine, sometimes it was the old lady's, but we were the same size, so it didn't matter. If I sleep with someone, I at least have the right to wear her clothes. Just so many great one-liners in this book, folks. That's just one of them. Anyway, back to Jumping Jack Flash. He says that, so he and Mick have been up all night. It's raining outside. And there was the sound of these heavy stomping rubber boots near the window belonging to my godna, Jack Dyer, a real countryman from Sussex. It woke Mick up. Apparently, Mick was dozing at this point. He said, "What's that?" I said, "Oh, that's Jack. That's Jumping Jack." I started to work around the phrase on the guitar, which was in open tuning, singing the phrase Jumping Jack. Mick said, "Flash." And the rest is history. Here it is, Jumping Jack Flash.
"99% of the time, it's just taking the string off. And there might be a difference on the level, how high the strings are against the frets. You might lower that more than you would on a six string. You guys are asking me questions. I'm still learning. That's the great thing about guitar. You'll never stop learning the damn thing. There's always more room to maneuver.
I remember everything.
She tried to take me upstairs.
Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, et al. And that was Honky Tonk Women, of course. That's an example of what you heard Keith talking about a little bit earlier there. And that was the open five-string tuning is what he calls it. He says it was his big discovery in 68, 69, when he started playing the open five-string tuning. It transformed my life, writes Richards. It's the way of playing that I use for the riffs and songs the Stones are best known for. The one you just heard, Honky Tonk Women, Brown Sugar, Tumbling Dice, Happy, All Down the Line, Start Me Up, and Satisfaction. Of course, Jumping Jack Flash, too. Now, these were all done under the care of Jimmy Miller, producer Jimmy Miller, who came to the Stones in, I guess, the late 60s, and he produced with them, you know, some of their most well-known albums, Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed, Sticky Fingers, every Stones record, Through Goat's Head Soup in 1973. And as Richards writes, he calls this the backbone stuff. Now, the interesting thing about Beggar's Banquet, which is a lot of people's really, well, I guess we all have our favorite Stones album, right? There's just so many, but with so many just incredible tunes on them. But Rolling Stones, Beggar's Banquet, Richards calls it really more of a folk album. He says, you can't say apart from Sympathy or Street Fighting Man that there's rock and roll on Beggar's Banquet at all. So I think a good example is Prodigal Son. Sounds pretty folky to me.
Poor boys who fought bread started down the road, started down the road. All he had started down the road. Going out in this world, well, God only knows. And that'll be the way to get along. Well, poor boys, all he had, family come in the land. Family come in the land. And all he had, family come in the land. I'm here to for a man. That'll be the way I'll get along. The man said, get your dog, bought to feed my swine. Bought to feed my swine. Give your dog, bought to feed my swine. The horse put down, hung his head and cried. There's no way to get it on. Say, I believe I ride. I go back home, believe I go back home. If I ride, believe I go back home. Well, down the road, as far as I can go, that'll be the way to get along. Well, Carter said, see my son coming after me, coming home to me. Father ran, fell down on his knees. Lord have mercy on me. Mercy. Oh, poor boy stood there, hung his head and cried. Hung his head and cried. Poor boy stood and hung his head and cried. Said, Father, will you look on me as a child? Yeah. Well, Father said, his eldest son. Kill the fatted calf, call the family round. Kill that calf, call the family round. My son was lost, now he was found. But that's the way for us to get along.
Hey!
The Rolling Stones with Prodigal Son from Beggar's Banquet. This is Katie B, and you are listening to a Stones special here on the Monday Tideline Show. We're doing all Rolling Stones, and I'm reading a little bit for you from Keith Richards' incredible book called Life, his autobiography memoir, about the last, oh, Well, more than 50 years. Keith is going to be 69 years old tomorrow, the 18th of December, and this covers pretty much his whole life up until that point. And as many of you know, he was the fact that he's still alive is kind of incredible. I remember when I was a kid, the rumor was that he had his blood changed out to survive because he'd done so much heroin. That, of course, was scientifically impossible, which he says in his book. So he says, I'm not going to say much more about that. But he does say here, another great musician who is long lost due to drugs, Graham Parsons. He said he did a couple of cleanups, he called them, when he tried to get off heroin with Graham Parsons. Both were unsuccessful. And another great Richards line, I've been through more cold turkeys than there are freezers. Yeah. But he also warns against getting into this kind of thing. He says, I thought I could take it or leave it. It is far more seductive than you think, because you can take it or leave it for a while. But every time you try and leave it, it gets a little harder. And he says, there's one simple way of never being in that position. Don't take it. I mean, he put himself really through hell, and somehow physically he was able to survive. But definitely wasn't easy. Let's move on to our next chronology here of the Stones' discography, anyway, to Exile on Main Street, which they recorded in Paris. And this, let's see, I guess it was around 1971. And this was a real fruitful time for them. Here's some titles that didn't make it onto the album. Head in the Toilet Blues, Leather Jackets, Windmill, I Was Just a Country Boy, Dancing in the Light. He says, oh, that must have been Mix. Bent Green Needles, Labor Pains, and Palms de Terre. Well, he says, we were in France at the time. But then he has a really interesting take on how he wrote what is one of their best songs and one of their most fun songs. It's called Happy. And here's what he says. He says, well, great songs write themselves. You're just being led by the nose or the ears. The skill is not to interfere with it too much. Ignore intelligence, ignore everything, just follow it where it takes you. You really have no say in it, and suddenly there it is. And that's kind of how Happy came out. I guess what happened was, he says they recorded this, well, they wrote it and recorded it in just an afternoon. He was actually not even with the rest of the Stones. He's with his good friend, Bobby Keys, who I believe is a saxophonist. And so here you've got Jimmy Miller on drums, Bobby Keys on baritone, sax. That's basically it. They're waiting for everybody to turn up for the real session for the rest of the night. And we thought, we're here. Let's see if we can come up with something. I'd written it that day. We got something going. We were rocking. Everything was set up. And we said, let's start to work it. And there it was. Happy.
lot of these things are in their time, and they belong where they belong, and to fiddle about with them and treat them as, you know, the Mona Lisa's or something, would be pointless. All of the big ones and the best ones that everybody knows, I leave them as they are, you know. I won't recall nothing and say, we should have done this or should have done that, you know what I mean?
Keith Richards writes, I realize now that Exile was made under very chaotic circumstances and with the innovative ways of recording, but those seem to be the least of the problems. The most pressing problem was, do we have songs and do we get the sound? Anything else that went on was peripheral. You can hear a load of my outtakes ending, oh well, run out, that's the story so far. But you'd be surprised when you're put right on the ball and you've got to do something. Everybody's looking at you going, okay, what's going to happen? You put yourself up there on the firing line, give me a blindfold, and a last cigarette, and let's go. And you'd be surprised how much comes out of you before you die. Keith Richards, who will turn 69 tomorrow. Another great quote, which I think a lot of us these days kind of live by. There was no preparation, but that's not the point. That's rock and roll. Let's get into some girls, shall we? Jumping ahead to 1978 now, and one of my, and I think a lot of people's, just absolute favorite Rolling Stones album, Some Girls. This is, you know, they've kind of gone through some more drama, I'm sure, more women, more relationships, more drugs and drinking, et cetera, but they're still going. And here we are, I guess 1968, so that would be, sorry, 78. That would be like 16 years after they got together in 1962. So they're going to start recording Some Girls again in Paris in a Pathé Marconi Studios. And he writes, it was a rejuvenation surprising for such a dark moment. So the dark moment here is that Keith Richards is about to go to jail. I mean, he's really in trouble at this time, right? And so they're kind of wondering, you know, speaking of the urgency, is this the last time they're going to record together? But another great quote, he says, there's no swimming upstream. You're not salmon. We're looking to glide. And if you've got problems with the room, you start to lose confidence. So he's talking about the microphones in the room and how Mick was just like so anal about everything. And I guess another thing that they were sort of laughing at Mick about at first was the tunes Miss You. He says, we didn't think much of Miss You when we were doing it. It was, Mick's been to the disco and has come out humming some other song. So they didn't know what a hit they had on their hands. He thought it was just the result of, you know, the nights Mick spent at Studio 54 shaking his booty around. But out of it, he admits, we got a huge hit. And the rest of the album doesn't sound anything like Miss You.
Thank you.
in my mind, just the way it used to sound through the Georgia pines. You were there to answer when I called. You and me, we had it all. I remember how I used to touch your head while reaching for the feeling that was always there. You were the best thing in my life I can recall. You and me, we had it all. I know that we can never live those times again, so I let these dreams take me back to where we've been. And I'll stay there with you just as long as I can. Oh, it was so good. Oh, it was so good. It was so good when I was your man. Stop believing in your smile. Even though it didn't stay, it was all worthwhile. You are the best thing in my life I can recall. You and me, we had it all.
None other than Keith Richards. That's an unreleased track, previously unreleased, from the Some Girls Sessions from 1978. We had it all. They were kind of experimenting with some country-ish stuff there. Of course, the one of the most entertaining songs of all time came out of that country experimentation called Faraway Eyes. And if we have time, we'll get to that. Before that, we heard Miss You, an unexpected hit as far as Keith Richards was concerned, but what a hit it is and was from Some Girls. This is Katie B. We're getting to about the last 20 minutes or so here of the Rolling Stones special from Any Tideline, featuring Keith Richards' excerpts from his memoir autobiography called Life that he released in 2010. Now, as I mentioned, at the time they were recording Some Girls, he was in a load of trouble, in quite a pickle with the Canadians, and they wanted to send Keith to jail, and I believe it had to do with drugs. To get the details, you'll want to read the book. But so he was kind of inspired at the time to come up with a song that he also did vocals on called Before They Make Me Run. And he writes, that song was a cry from the heart, but it burned up the personnel as far as the recording crew like no other. I was in the studio without leaving for 5 days. He says it came out of what I was going through and was going through with the Canadians. I was telling them what to do. Let me walk out of this goddamn case. When you get a lenient sentence, they say, oh, and let him walk. Well, he was just kind of not sleeping 5 days. He was probably, you know, had some help there to not sleep. But he said everybody was just exhausted. And he's standing there with his guitar around his neck and everybody else is conked out on the floor. Oh, no, not another take, Keith, please. He brought in food and chocolate croissants. Days turned into nights. But he writes, you can't leave it. It's almost there. You're tasting it. It's just not in your mouth. It's like fried bacon and onion. You haven't eaten it yet. It just smells good. Before They Make Me Run. Twilight Zone. I'm before they make me run from Keith Richards' Rolling Stones from Some Girls, recorded in 1978. And quite a story for behind that, because Keith was about to go to jail, but I think somehow he managed to get out of it and write this book all about it years later, called Life, which I have been sharing with you over the past couple hours here on the Monday Tideline Show with Katie B. And I think we're getting towards the end here, but just a couple more things about Mick and Keith. Mick apparently came out with his own book, which I understand is not quite as colorful and interesting, but nonetheless, Mick Jagger, of course, also just an incredible talent and made a huge, huge contribution to music as we know it today, rock and roll music. Keith writes about Mick is that I guess at one point he really likes to take the piss out of him, you know. He says he wanted to take dancing lessons, right? And so this is kind of interesting. Okay, he says, Mick and I may not be friends. Too much wear and tear for that, but we're the closest of brothers, and that can't be severed. It's interesting how men develop sometimes these brotherly relationships with friends. He says, best friends are best friends, but brothers fight. And then he says, this is the past I'm writing about. This stuff happened a long time ago. I can say these things. They come from the heart. At the same time, nobody else can say anything against Mick that I can hear. I'd slit their throat. So quite a bond there between Jagger and Richards. They're performing again the last couple of weeks. Looks like they're having a good old time. You go to the web, you can see lots of pictures and videos of these shows they've been performing, along with, of course, the other two members of the Rolling Stones. Maybe they'll be doing some shows in 2013. Who knows? But speaking of Mick and Keith and the fun they've been having, let's hear a little Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah.
Keith Richards about Mick Jagger. Well, I guess Jagger wanted to take some dancing lessons, and he says, you know, Charlie and I have been watching that ass for 40-odd years. We know when that moneymaker's shaking, when it's being told what to do. Just one of many great quotes from this book. I could go on and on, folks, but I recommend just you go ahead and check it out at the library, or get this 547 pages, Life by Keith Richards. Fantastic stuff. And Rolling Stones still going strong and just having a real kind of really nice renaissance right now. If you go to NPR Music, you can hear interviews with Mick Jagger and Keith Richards and Charlie Watts, Bill Wyman, and they're just great. And they do have a new single out for their 50th anniversary. Kind of goes with the times. Little bit of a depressing theme, but it's called Doom and Gloom. And I'm going to go out with that. Jane is here with the Garden of Love. Folks, it's been an absolute pleasure sharing this show with you tonight. Next week will be Christmas Eve, and it will be Christmas music. So I'll see you on the radio next week, 5 to 7, right here.